Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And good morning, Bubo.
Good morning, everybody. Bubo is doing a little dance to our opening music.
Yay.
Yay.
I didn't know owls could dance, even robotic ones.
Yeah, Bubo can do anything. So.
It's astonishing.
Hi.
Well, you've met Bubo. You can also meet us. I'm Mark Van Stunwyck. I direct the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
And I'm Daniel Wolpert. I direct MICA, the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing. And I need my fourth pandemic haircut in a big way.
Yeah, you're kind of looking fuzzy.
I'm looking pretty fuzzy, yeah.
Here's a pro tip. Just wear a hat all the time.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about haircuts.
That's
in fact,
true.
If people ever see my head, they feel like something's off and they can't explain it. It's because like, oh yeah, you're not wearing a hat.
No.
So this was apparently a big weekend because it was the sports ball tournament thing.
Yes.
Super Bowl.
The superb owl.
That's right, superb owl.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, the Atlantic always does these photographs of owls for the superb owl. They're really good. They're really good.
So who won? I don't even I finally successfully transitioned to most of my friend base are the people that watch for the commercials. So I know about the commercials and the halftime show, but I don't even really know who played.
Yeah.
That's how far out of the league I am.
Yeah. One of the teams won.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
It was a Tom Brady's team, right?
It was Tom Brady's team.
He's like an elderly man in football terms. And
he is. He's sort of a mutant. And he may be a robot bird, actually.
He's at the advanced age of 45, right?
Yeah, which 43.
43. So I'm older. Like, wow.
So you could have been out. So you could have been out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't be doing transmission this morning.
I'd still be in one of those giant tubs with ice.
No, you just would be in the hospital. So.
Yeah, I mean, the doctor would be telling the coach he can never play again. Speaking of these rituals that bind America together, we're talking about the gospel of Middle America. Inspired by a commercial last night.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so this is the Jeep commercial that people have been talking about for a while, that there's going to be this commercial with Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm. So everybody's all excited. And The boss himself. And it was so bad. It was so bad. But what was bad about it, what was really bad about it, was how many people I saw who I consider to be pretty thoughtful people who thought it was really good.
I mean, I could play just the beginning of it because it sets it up pretty well. I know you don't want to see it ever again.
I don't want to see it ever again.
But this is journalistic integrity.
Okay. Here we go.
The whole thing's 2 minutes long. I'm only going to play the beginning. And for those who will be listening, and not watching, I think the voiceover from the boss man himself will give you enough context.
Yeah.
There's a chapel in Kansas, standing on the exact center of the lower 48. It never closes. All are more than welcome to come meet here in the middle. It's no secret. The middle has been a hard place to get to lately. Between red and blue, between servant and citizen, between our freedom and our fear.
For those who couldn't see who are listening, there's all sorts of like American flag waviness, and you see more of that. This chapel that he mentions, there's like a red, white, and blue silhouette of the lower 48 with a cross with a heart on it. And above it says, you know, pray. The other thing I noticed, maybe it's just me, but Bruce Springsteen and Joe Biden have very similar voices.
Well, they're kind of from somewhat similar areas.
And they both have that kind of like forceful way of kind of like kind of coughing out words.
Yeah. So there's so much wrong. So first of all, I'm just speechless. All right. So let's just start with the idea that a Christian chapel in Middle America on land stolen from Native peoples is some kind of symbol of all that's right with America. Mm-hmm. I mean, just that right there should be so problematic that we really, you know, those of us that claim to be reasonable, caring people at this point in our history should realize that just that in and of itself, right? So if to meet in the middle, you have to be Christian, right there is a problem, right? So there are now millions of people that do not identify as Christian. There are obviously millions of people who are other religions.
Or no religion at all.
Well, right, no religion at all. And so what does meeting in the middle mean for all those people?
In the snowy chapel in Kansas.
Right, in the snowy chapel in Kansas that has a, you know, the beating heart of Jesus over red, white, and blue America.
You know, Dan, I think you're being unfair to Jeep when you're talking about stolen land because they're in tune to indigenous struggle because they have a Jeep Cherokee that honors the First Nations.
Yes, that honors them. Oh my God.
But the super imposing of like Christian symbols, American flags appears throughout, and then kind of this invoking of what binds us together as a people. I mean, this is like textbook American civil religion using symbols from Christian history, but then also from U.S. sacred history to hearken us back to the way the commercial ends. It's kind of dedicated to the reunited states of America. So this is all very American civil religion.
Yeah. And all right, we've got a flood of comments. Maybe we'll go to those. Well, I'm going to shower. I'm going to go shower.
Brush your teeth while you're showering. Yeah. I mean, later on, just to kind of, I want to get a couple. Later on, when he's talking again about you being united, there's a sun shining as melancholy violin plays as three crosses in a field.
Yeah.
The sun glints through them. It's pretty gross. James writes, sort of with James, it sounds like he's trying to run for office. I feel, yes. Yeah. Maybe that's part of the Joe Biden quality that I was picking up too.
Yeah.
Carol says, I've watched it several times. Please, you should explain it to us because there's a lot going on.
Yes.
Susan is disappointed in Bruce. Bruce, I'm disappointed in you. Colin writes, radical centrism strikes again.
Bum, bum, bum.
CK writes, the boss sold out the people to capitalism. He's been doing that apparently for a while.
He's been doing that for a while. See, this was one of the things that we were talking about before the show, how there's this weird thing that happens to, I think, particularly somewhat radical white people as they age. And I don't know whether it's, you know, a sign of some sort of hardening of the arteries or, you know, fear or what it is, but there is this distinctive drift to the right that happens. Sometimes it's a lurching, sometimes it's a hard lurch. But yeah, I mean, Bruce has been, he's been getting more and more like this as time has gone on. Yeah.
That's a bummer. Anthony writes, centrism is true freedom. Aristotle knew this when he expounded the doctrine of the golden mean centuries ago. For those, there's sarcasm in this because I know Anthony is, just for those who aren't.
He's joking.
Adam writes, whenever I see that kind of imagery, a cross over the shape of the U.S. emblazoned with the design of the American flag, I know I am not welcome.
Right.
There's lots of people that wouldn't feel welcome, even though ostensibly the message, like, so I went to YouTube to watch, to see this video, and three quarters of the comments are thumbs up, and then like a quarter, so over 6,000, I think at this point, people don't like it, and those people who don't like it tend to be conservative, because the message of it is, you know, we have to be bigger than our fear, freedom is for all, so that kind of universal message, which is part of the American civil religion, is still has a kind of a neoliberal quality to it that far right wingers don't like. Nevertheless, if you're trying to say all are welcome, but then you're centering the whole commercial on flags and crosses, I don't know, just black people are going to feel left out by that.
Yeah.
Susan writes, meet in the middle politically at church is a real joke.
Right. Yeah, and so that's the other, you know, obviously the big underlying theme of this is this whole idea of meeting in the middle, which, you know, seems to have this incredible mythic appeal, right? And you know, we sort of view the middle as some kind of, you know, existential holy land where everybody somehow is happy. And I don't even know, you know, I don't even know what that means, right? I mean, I certainly understand on a sort of practical level, right, the idea of like compromises that one has to make when you're dealing with lots of people of different opinions. But if when you're talking about issues of justice, what is the middle between just and unjust? I mean, I don't know what that is. and there certainly is no spiritual tradition that articulates that kind of middle. I mean, if things are unjust, you want them to be transformed to being just, right? And so maybe there are a lot of different ways of being just, but there's no middle there. I mean, it just so, yeah, I mean, this idea that, you know, again, you look at our history, right? Is there a middle between having slaves and not having slaves? You know, is there a middle between women being able to vote and women not being able to vote? What is it like, women each get half a vote? Like, is that the middle between those two things? So it's this weird mythology that I think we really have to kind of critique and actually do away with.
I think a lot of the rhetoric around middle, like I've had arguments with people around this who are fairly moderate people, who are intellectually honest, who will say the Civil War shouldn't have happened because if they would have continued a moderate path and not been caught up with the abolitionist cause, we would have eventually gotten rid of slavery without all the war. So like the idea I think a lot of people espouse, which is messed up, is that slow and steady wins the race. And so being moderate means like, let's not get, the left might have some good ideas, but they go too far too quickly.
Right.
But see, this is like, you know, this is where MLK comes in handy because he's so wise in all sorts of areas. And one of them is Justice, what's the quote? Shoot. Justice delayed is justice denied. There it is.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a response directly to that moderate impulse, because we know that in our society, if you just kind of wait around for justice to happen, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. And I mean, you know, Reverend Gregory has, you know, been on the show before, and you know, has made the comment that the neoliberal solution to slavery would just be to have black slave owners. again, when we're talking about these issues of justice, somebody needs to explain what the middle means, because I think, and this is why I say that it has this mythic quality, because we hear it and it seems to resonate with a lot of, you know, mostly white people. And we have to really ask, like, you know, what does that really mean anything other than you getting to keep your privilege, right? You getting to go to a chapel that welcomes you because you're white and straight and Christian, but it doesn't really welcome anybody else unless they change to be like you.
I mean, to me, it's always funny when people moderate, centrist, doesn't mean anything by itself. It's an aesthetic argument in contrast to two other things. And so to me, it's this gets at Carol's comment. It does tend to shut us up. The appeal to moderacy is just a way to shut people up who, like, it's, to me, it's like people saying, we'll go to the store tomorrow to a kid. It's like, let's just be patient and wait. It's just to shut down anyone who's really demanding of anything. It's a way of closing out demands. Kathleen says he said the chapel never closes and all are welcome. No, not really. That's the irony of that kind of imagery. And it also creates a paradox for vampires, because they're invited in, but it's still a chapel. So can they enter or not? The vampire paradox. You know, like, you, anyways, joke didn't land on for very well for Dan. Melissa writes, also, why is he driving around in the winter with the top down? Yes. Yeah. A very practical question, because then we couldn't see the wind ripple through his thinning hair to invoke masculine imagery. Julia writes, the drift to the right is money. When you've made a ton and are used to having a lot, then you age out of the limelight and look for other sources of income. Advertising is lucrative. Even if it's not being money driven, like, because there's a comment down here, Jeannie writes, and I think this is true, Jeannie, I think this is his way of trying to help. I don't think he sold out because he didn't need the money. It's a little disappointing, but I truly believe he's trying to help. I generally think he didn't do this commercial because he's like, well, Jeep's offering a lot of money. I think you're at that point, you have, like, any professional, like, he has a rate. And so he has to, of course, do things for his rate in order to respect himself. That's kind of way people like this tend to think. And so he probably got paid, but I don't think he did it for the money. But this idea that he is rich, being rich twists your mind. So the richer a liberal is, the less liberal they're going to be. So it just tends to happen that way because they want to maintain what they've got at an instinctive level. And they also tend to only hang out with other rich people who tend to skew conservative. So I'd rather have young Springsteen than old Springsteen when it comes to it.
Well, although this does get to another issue in our society, right? And you skipped over, Gus made the comment, I like Springsteen. I want to continue to like Springsteen. I mean, you know, this whole thing in our society that just because somebody is a good musician, they are going to have profound political thoughts or be a good moral person, it is a very bizarre idea. I mean, you know, just because somebody writes good music doesn't necessarily mean they should be our foremost political commentators. It's sort of the notion of having a game show host as president or an actor as president. I mean, you know, I think we expect way too much out of these artists. You know, they should stick to songwriting and singing and or whatever other kind of art they do. And
this is true for all kind of art, you know, because, you know, Bruce Springsteen is recognized as one of the great American songwriters, probably justly so. And a lot of his content is very poetic and somewhat subversive. Nothing's ever been revolutionary, really.
No.
Born in the USA is kind of a generally thoughtful anti-war song that's still the kind of song that Vietnam vets could like. So it's not, he's not that subversive. So expecting him to somehow, to, for even a poet or a, someone who's lyrically gifted, to be able to have just a depth of humanity, like, I guess it makes sense because it's a soulful craft. But yeah, he's not a political scientist. Well, but, he's not a politician. Yeah. He's not, he doesn't, he's really good at writing things.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a recent thing, and actually, I don't know, Gus, maybe this was from you or from somebody that I regularly interact with about, you know, all these horribly racist things that Walt Whitman said when he was writing prose or having a political discussion. And so people are like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, all I've heard is this beautiful poetry and the guy's a, you know, racist asshole. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, this is very, very common, you know, that people are multifaceted and, yeah, and oftentimes they have a gift in one area and it doesn't necessarily bleed over to the rest of their lives or the rest of their thoughts. And I kind of feel like we should sort of stop being surprised by this. I feel like we keep getting surprised by this. And to me, it really shows a kind of general lack of understanding of how compartmentalized all of us are, which is kind of painful, but it's true.
You know, and the just to kind of put in perspective, the reverse is also true. Like, I'm pretty sure Jesus Christ would have been a bad songwriter. Like, just because he is deep doesn't mean that he's able to just do everything well. So why do we expect someone who does something well to be great in every area of life? And maybe that's blasphemous because Jesus is the incarnation of God, and so he has to be good at everything. But like, I'm just gonna, I want to believe that he is tone deaf. He would have sucked at karaoke. But I still worship.
Is that why worship songs are just like Jesus, 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 repeated again and again? Because he would have been bad. He wouldn't have had any other lyrics to his songs. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, that's a great example. No, I mean, it's true.
Catherine writes, struck the insistence that all are welcome in the ad chapel when not even the superficial trappings are welcoming. Yeah, there's nothing welcoming about that chapel. I've been in chapels like that a bunch of times, and they didn't feel very wholesome and welcoming. We're not even getting tokenizing diversity images or rainbow flags in the set. Feels like all are welcome to conform and support Christian nationalism. That's exactly right. It's centering itself on a very white, bicentennial kind of quality to it that's gross. Carol writes, so remember, most viewers were drunk. I don't know if that makes it better or worse. Drunk and it just makes you more
nostalgic.
Yeah, it's like
you start crying. Yeah. Like, easier to manipulate.
Yeah. Adam writes, privilege affords an easy in to these sorts of centrist fantasies, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Susan writes, I saw a post recently that pointed out meat in the middle has been the long joke of the Republican Party. Then they keep moving farther right. So finally, the middle is just plain right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sorry if there's sound. I had to move my microphone. Anthony writes, the Bible itself doesn't seem to allow much room for the chimerical middle in some cases. Quote, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Thanks for using the King James in your quotation, Anthony.
Yes.
I haven't used the word hath for quite some time.
Hath.
Yeah.
Oh,
hath.
Yeah.
Hath. I mean, like this idea, there's so many ideas like centrist, moderate, balance, harmony, that some of these ideas kind of can have their a good use. But when we kind of enshrine balance as a value in and of itself without any sort of context, which is what happens in American politics, it's just, it just sets yourself up for manipulation. Yeah. And it's not at all like a very strong Judeo idea or Christian idea like in our traditions, really.
No. Well, and even systems that, you know, I'm thinking about like Chinese medicine systems or a lot of indigenous systems, right, that talk about balance and harmony.
I mean, in a very particular sort of way.
They're not talking about some middle between good and evil, right? They're talking about a positive balance of many different energies, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that this, you know, it's almost like the seesaw teeter-totter image that we have, that, you know, when the seesaw is like perfectly not moving, you know, that's great or something. But it's, no, it's a very fascinating mythology.
Mm-hmm. Susan writes, well, it's easy for moderates who are very comfortable where we are to play the long game. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie writes, I think you need a woman's voice in this discussion.
Okay. Voice away.
Yep.
Please share whatever thoughts you have.
Maria writes, the implication is that justice is in the middle. Yes.
Right. Yes.
The assumption is that human beings are going to have extremist thinking on either sides and that the truth is to be found in the middle. It's a kind of a pragmatic argument. And it tends to be baked into our way we evolved. We tend to want to cooperate and work together as a group. So it makes sense that we'd kind of negotiate towards a sort of common understanding. And that kind of implies some kind of middle sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But well, only so far.
And that's where we don't sort out the difference between pragmatic compromise versus versus the issues related to justice, right? So, you know, and we talk about this in Christian discernment terms, right? We say that the Christian discernment is choosing between the good. It's not choosing between good and evil, right? And so, I mean, there are a lot of different ways to do justice. There are a lot of different ways to parse and solve different problems in society. So if that's what we mean by compromise or meeting in the middle, you know, fine. But if what we mean is, again, the you know, some people can have slaves and some people can't, if that's meeting in the middle, that's not a just solution.
Melissa writes, what middle is there to move to for a person who has no health care or not enough food?
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, is that the middle? Like, some people get too much food and some people get no food. So is that the middle? I mean, I don't understand that middle. Like,
yeah. Yep. No, it's just usually there has to be a certain detachment to even talk about these sorts of things, as though, like, you know, those people on the right have their opinions about stuff and the people on the left have their opinions about stuff, and they get so mad arguing about their opinions, and we just need to come together in this chapel in the middle of Kansas and sort it out. Right. And to me, that's kind of a very strange way to look at it, and it does center it unwittingly on people who are comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the thing, like this idea of like boiling down, like, well, there's some, this guy who killed a black man over here on one side, and then there's Black Lives Matter on the other side. They just need to come together and hug, and we'll paint a mural on the side of a abandoned Kmart, which we did an episode, 100 episodes ago about that.
Yeah.
Adam writes, that implication is a lie for some and a fantasy for others. I'm not sure what implication specifically referring to, but your comment could fit in all kinds of places in this conversation.
Oh, the implication that justice is in the middle. Yeah,
yes.
I think it's talking about Maria's comment. Yeah.
Yep. James writes, I prefer the label tepid to centrist. that can sometimes fit. I think there are principled political views that land in the middle that some people would self-refer to as centrist. That doesn't mean I agree with them, but like there's some consistencies there. But I think a lot of centrism and moderate views are just tepid, like a lack of commitment or fervor and a general sort of apathy. Susan writes, because he's a tough American driving his rugged Jeep in the freezing cold. There's that. Right. There's sort of much macho to bearing with the cold.
Yeah, Adam agrees with that. Yeah,
he's driving around with the top down in the winter because he's a man.
Yeah.
There's some comments here. Kanye. Is this, you give him an example of someone who has kind of had their thinking twisted by money and affluence? If that's the context, maybe. That makes sense. Because he's someone who seemed fairly radical in some sort, in some views. And then, like, I remember after Hurricane Katrina, he was very vocal and critical of the Bush administration. And then he became a Trump supporter. So things happen to people. Catherine writes, fun game. Whenever something absurd happens in manly content like this, I solemnly ask my partner things like, do you know why he's driving around with a top down in January? And then he responds, because he's a man. There is a kind of a rich tradition of machismo when it comes to winter. That's for sure. Jeannie writes, Jesus did meet and eat with the rich. He continued to be just. He reached out and called them out, but he didn't avoid the people on the right. No, but like he called them to repentance.
Right. This has nothing to do with avoiding people or not dealing with them. But yeah, I mean, Jesus never said, you know, Pharisees' lives matter. I mean, Jesus was very, very clear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when the rich came to him and said, well, what should I do? He said, give away all your money. And then the rich person was really unhappy. Go ahead.
I mean, if the Gospel of Luke is a clear example of this, he engages with more rich people in the Gospel of Luke than any of the other Gospels for a very particular reason. It's also the Gospel that lays out that the kingdom of God is going to flip things upside down, and so that the poor will be blessed and the rich, woe to the rich, for they've had their fill. Yeah. And he gives examples of, he tells his disciples to sell everything they have and give it to the poor. He tells that to the rich young man. And then we see Zacchaeus being the example of the rich person who repents and pays back double everyone he's mistreated. So if that's how we do fellowship with the rich, that's great. But there's no like, let's just go to church together and not call out the rich kind of centrism. That's not what we see.
All right. Well, we're way behind.
We'll blast through these last few comments. This is
often the case.
Susan writes, Bruce used to be so pro-working class in his ballots. He probably thinks he still is.
Yeah.
And there might be some ways he still is. I really haven't kept up with the boss. Carol writes, I would have loved to have Woody Guthrie narrate that. That would be a different commercial, I would hope.
I would hope. Hard to say, but...
Adam writes, I think we need to differentiate the role of the artist in society and the role of celebrity in society. I think there's some helpfulness. I was wondering if you're going to comment and add to that, Adam. Thank you. Some artists become celebrities, which first and foremost makes them out of touch. This creates a buffer of privilege for these fantasies we're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. I like that. Thank you.
Susan writes, you guys, thank you for the substantive discussion, seasoned with humor. So good. Well, thank
you.
Thanks for the compliment. Ellen writes, he was an amazing wordsmith, so I think he would have been fine with songwriting. Maybe melody could have been hard for Jesus, but I can accept splitting mastery from different skills. But saying Jesus would have been a bad songwriter, a shade too far, friends. culpa. I was trying to be provocative, but the thing is, he could have been a bad songwriter, and it wouldn't have detracted from his wisdom. But you're right. Yeah. I want to believe that. He would have had some skills. Adam writes, I want to push back against language of artists aren't politicians or experts or whatever. Artists are absolutely important voices, vital to how we understand ourselves in the world. Prophetic voices are ignored and quieted, whatever trade or way of life they come from.
Yeah.
No, that's a fair pushback. I think the point that I guess I would try to make is that just because someone excels in artistry or craft doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to translate into other areas of wisdom. But I do agree, like, there are people that we think of. I mean, Thich Nhat Hanh is an example of someone who was a poet, activist, monk. And so there are definitely these kind of artistic people who embody a wisdom tradition and embody wisdom. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to just assume that's the case if someone is a gifted songwriter. But you point
to that. And I really appreciate the you know, artist versus celebrity, and the people who become celebrities are often particular types of artists, which sometimes they are very prophetic, but many times not. And yeah, it's a good thing to be more reflective of. Thank you.
I'm gonna have to skip a bunch of comments here again because we're out of time. So sorry about that. Anthony writes, I agree. There was a scholar who wrote a book on how the office of the prophet has largely been replaced by the arts media today. Some valid impulse or function, but different form of expression. Lisa writes, have people who say justice is in the middle ever lived at the margins and tried to access or interact with the middle?
Yes. Very good point.
Jeremy writes, peace with evil is subjugation. Well put. Kathleen writes, did you notice the chapel was empty? Speaks volumes. Here's a comment from Colin. Political moderation is not unlike an abuser tactic. Quote, lowering our expectations, we are told, is a small price to pay for being protected from terror and totalitarianism. End quote. That's from Mark Fisher. This way of thinking persuades us to forsake a fight for our actual needs under the threat of things getting worse. Well put. Julia writes, I drive around with the top down in winter, admittedly. It's California, but still.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Last comment from Viv. On the flip side, Amanda Gorman's poem about essential workers at Super Bowl. You could say that's the opposite of what Springsteen's Jeep commercial is. I haven't listened to it. I've heard comments about it. But yes, that's an interesting example. A lot of people are surprised and maybe even a little skeptical, like what the Super Bowl people were going to cash in. But I've heard that her poem was great.
Yeah, and then this is nice.
So it does seem like it's kind of the antithesis to what we're seeing with the Springsteen.
Yeah. Why don't we end with Adam's comment just above there?
Adam writes, I've never heard any spiritual teaching say compromise with your oppressor. Yeah, that people might interpret love your enemy that way, but that to me is a weird interpretation of love your enemy. And that's a whole other can of worms.
So. Yes, it is. All righty. Well, thanks for all the engagement. Really appreciate it. And great to hear from everybody. And it's 10 below zero here this morning. So anybody who wants to be a real man, just come here and drive around with your top down and we'll see how long you last.
Oh, my God. Don't do that.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.